Hey, this is Father Voskin, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast about life and love, about spirituality, and all things spiritual. The Next Step is a podcast that allows you to look at life through some very old and ancient lenses polished up in a very new way. We call it Armadoxy, and we invite you now to sit back, enjoy. If you'd like, crawl with us, walk with us, run with us, because we're taking the next step. This is made possible by the good folks at Apostle.net, apostolic evangelism for an electronic universe. So if you're ready, let's take the next step. Well, I should say, yeah, we are ready, aren't we? It kind of takes an effort to make a podcast work. It's not like you kind of stumble on it. Well, maybe you do. I don't know if you're listening to somebody else. But there's the process of downloading. You have to know kind of what you're doing. It's not like a radio where you're flipping through different channels and you kind of stumble on something. It's just there for the asking, of course, but you have to make the effort. So we know you're ready, and you got to believe we are over here too. We've got a great program for you today. I'm excited about it. We've got a whole slew of stuff to talk about. Hey, did you see Newsweek? What's on the cover of Newsweek this week? A mosque at Ground Zero. Yes, a mosque at Ground Zero. Now, where have we heard that before? The topic of last week's Next Step. Yes, the editorial staff at Newsweek sat around and said, what should we talk about this week? And they tuned into The Next Step, and, well, we provide them with their topics, and they put it right on their front page. Okay, somebody wake me up. Thank you. Yes, we could only dream of days like that, when Armenian Orthodoxy will kind of set the pace of what the ethical standards, what's going on out in the world. But I have to tell you, I was impressed when I got my Newsweek and I saw it right on the cover. I said, hey, we talked about that. But you know, I keep dreaming about that. I do dream that one day Armenian Orthodoxy will have something to say in the world. It has for a group of people known as Armenians who have no other explanation for survival and for living except that they have been plugged in to this ancient religion. What did we say a few minutes ago? We called it looking through the glasses of ancient lenses. Yeah, they are old lenses, but they have been polished up in such a new way. That's what we're doing over here. We've polished up those lenses. We call it Armadoxy, and we invite you to look through, because through those lenses, you see life differently. You have the ability to dream. You have the ability to seek peace. And ultimately, that story of a mosque at Ground Zero, what's it about? It's about seeking peace, about reconciliation, about finding, well, a truth that maybe was exploded on 9/11, that was lost on 9/11. And that's what the commentary was about last week. But I do appreciate the comments that I did receive, both pro and con. I appreciated the emails, but one email that I received from a listener who wishes to remain anonymous, and I will definitely respect that. But in his email, he said that as much as he agreed with the commentary that we had, he said that he still finds it offensive and tasteless to build a mosque at Ground Zero. And you know what? I've got to agree with you. I think that there will be many people that will be offended, and somewhat it is in that offending that we need to struggle and start identifying, we need to be talking about, and we will find our salvation as a group of people. I think it's just that type of offense that's going to push us to a national conversation about reconciliation. I agree with you. Yes, it is offensive, and I do definitely agree with you that it is tasteless as those stories that I told you taking place in Armenia. In my grandmother's village of Sirvisar, there is a mosque where the church was. My grandmother, her name was Marie, and this was her feast. We're going to be talking in a few minutes about the Feast of Saint Mary. And she would tell us about the church services that would take place on the Feast of Assumption. So especially this time of year, it's very offensive to me to know that that same church in the village of Sirvisar is now being used as a mosque or for other religious purposes. I believe also as a museum. It's all kinds of stories. And yeah, it is very tasteless on ground zero to build a mosque. But what we were talking about last week, and if you didn't catch it, it's on the archives. It's last week's, what is that, number 113, podcast number 113. We made some comments about the importance of sticking to your principles. And those principles are higher. They're higher than our comfort level. Comfort level. Once you start invading my space, we're talking about something else. It's good to have principles, but once they start invading my space, they start playing with my level of comfort. That's when those principles can be thrown out. No. It doesn't work like that, does it? That's the real measure of those principles. When they do invade your space, when there is something at jeopardy, something that can be lost. We're going to be talking about that today, of course, because we are ready for the Feast of St. Mary's Assumption coming up this Sunday. We're going to be looking at motherhood, at Thanksgiving of all things. We've got a little segment to do about this Stuart gone berserk. Did you hear about that? We'll talk about that as well. We've got Ani with her bubbles. And it's a good one, I hear. She didn't tell me the whole thing, but from what I understand, it's a good one, like all of our bubbles. Hey, like all of our show, we're just glad that you're here with us today. We kick it off with a song of the day. Today I've picked out a song to look at motherhood from a different perspective. You know, when we talk about Jesus and his mother, I mean, there's this sanctity, there's this beautiful idea of iconic idea of motherhood, isn't there, right? As Saint Mary will elicit within us. So I picked out this song from John Lennon about his mother. Now, you know, he lost his mother at a very early age, a relatively early age. She never saw what the Beatles became. She was his muse in many ways. I think he refers to her as his muse for writing so many of the beautiful songs and the poetry that has become John Lennon. Anyway, without saying too much, it gives us a little bit of an opportunity to look at motherhood from a different perspective, okay? Here's Julia by the Beatles.
Half of what I say is meaningless, but I say it just to reach you, Julia. Julia, Julia, ocean child. Sing the song of love, Julia, Julia, seashell eyes, windy smile calls me, so I sing the song of love, Julia. Sky is shimmering, glimmering in the sun. Julia, Julia, morning moon, touch me, so I sing the song of love, Julia. When I cannot sing my heart, I can only speak my mind, Julia. Julia. sing the song of love, Julia. Calls me, so I sing the song of love for Julia. Julia
by the Beatles, written by John Lennon for his mother. You know, it's important to take different perspectives. And what was I saying earlier about those ancient glasses? You know, those ancient lenses of Armenian Orthodoxy, they've been polished up. And they've been polished up with what life has brought us. And no matter, like it or not, you are children of the 21st century. And you've been influenced by so many things culturally around you. And those influences start polishing those lenses. It's not to say that they're impure. They're just the newest version of what we call Armenian Orthodoxy. We have arrived with Armadoxy here in the 21st century. And it is equally as valid as what came before. I say this because you know that we're living in a world with that has all kinds of nuances to it that were unheard of many years ago. I want you to just take a look at some of the biblical traditions that we explore. This past 3 weeks, we've been looking at the story of Saint Mary on our Apostle broadcasts, the ones we call Questions in Faith that come out every Wednesday evening. And you know, we've been looking at Saint Mary biblically with the non-biblical tradition, and last night we looked at the Armenian Orthodox, and it comes down to a couple ideas that are very essential to understanding who Saint Mary is and why she's so important. Just last week, or 2-3 weeks ago, in Glendale, California, where I'm serving as a priest, there was this, you know, this apparition, this miracle, they call it, where there was this small little statue that was pumping out oil for a period of 10 days. And now it's become a shrine. Pilgrims from throughout the world have been arriving at this woman's doorstep. They've been coming in. She's been gracious enough to open her house to all these people. She confessed that she can't even do some of her daily tasks because there's so many people coming in and out of her house in front of this statue. You know, I got to confess, I've never really understood that whole idea of why these little statues or these hands start pumping out oil. What's the connection with oil? Why Saint Mary, greasy? I don't understand it. But anyway, it's a point where people get together and they huddle around, and it becomes a point where people can focus on and show devotion, show a bit of respect. And interestingly enough, the respect that Jesus asks us for has nothing to do about, you know, kneeling down and lighting candles and looking at images. It's about respecting the words that he has. Do you remember there's that story about the family of Jesus? His mother and his brothers show up to meet with Jesus. They want to see him. And the apostles say, they come up to Jesus and they say, "Hey, your mother and your brothers are outside. They want to come and see you." But of course, there's such a big crowd. How do you get them in? And Jesus turns to his disciples and he says, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" He looked out at those that were seated around him. They were in a circle around him. And he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." That's how simple it is. You know, the real respect we have to show Christ is in our actions. And this week we have this opportunity through the Feast of Saint Mary to really focus in on our actions. Because the Feast of Saint Mary, the Assumption, is not only a Mother's Day event in Armenian Orthodoxy, it is also a Thanksgiving event. And so here you bring Mother's Day and Thanksgiving celebration into one, and we call it the Assumption of Saint Mary. And we focus in on this saint, who is like the epitome of saintliness, of godliness, of holiness. She stands there as an example, not only to women, but to all of us. She stands there as an example of what it means to say yes to God. And I'm going to challenge you in a few minutes, so I want you to just follow this really, really carefully, because it's very important that you understand Saint Mary, or what we refer to her in Armenian Orthodoxy as Astvazadzin, the bearer of God. Not Christosadzin, not the Christ bearer, but the God bearer. Because through her, in her uniqueness of giving virgin birth, the purity of that birth lent itself to allow love to be born. The manifestation of love, love incarnate, is being born through this human form of Saint Mary. And coming to her is this message that, hey, Mary, you will be the mother of this child. And she says, it's impossible. I've never known a man. I've never had relationships with a man. So don't talk to me about having someone born from me. Forget about it. I'm still a virgin. Impossible. But the message is very clear. Hey, what may seem impossible to you is possible for God. Because for love, for God, all things are possible. And you will find yourself with child from the Holy Spirit who will come upon you. And you're going to name this child Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God is with us. Love is with us. Wow, what a message. Can you imagine? She's being told that God is with us. And you're going to deliver that love to this world. You're going to make that manifestation of love possible. Now, St. Mary could have easily said no. Now, this is the interesting point. Okay, you got to remember this. She had the option to say no. In fact, she has a little bit of doubt because she asked the logical question, right? Hey, what's going to happen? And you know, that doubt is not bad. In life, it's okay to doubt. Some people tell you, I said this a few weeks ago, I want to repeat it. You know, the opposite of faith is not doubt. The opposite of faith is fear. When you have fear, you don't have that faith. But doubt is okay. Remember in the story, Doubting Thomas, the most famous doubter of all, when Jesus approached and met with the disciples, he didn't shun Thomas. He didn't say, oh, you doubted, get lost. In fact, he was the first person that Jesus came to. Jesus said, hey, Thomas, come here. Feel the marks where my wounds were. So it's okay to doubt. And God loves a person who is in communion with him. And that doubting allows you to be in dialogue with God. And Mary, in the same way, said, hey, how is this possible? Impossible. But when it came down to making a decision, Mary said yes to God. Now, you got to remember, she could have said no. And if she did, she would have been forgotten. Which lends many people to speculate that, hey, how many people came before Mary? Well, all those people were forgotten. You'll never know. You'll never know if God spoke to anyone else. But what's important for us to remember is he spoke to a very unique little girl. And this girl said yes to God. And you can't believe how powerful that yes is. You know, we take it for granted. And I'm going to show you in a minute that it's not that unusual. Just bear with me for a few minutes. I'm asking you, bear with me. Because this is really, really important in the entire understanding, the Armenian Orthodox understanding of Saint Mary. Mary had the option to say no. She says yes because she sticks to her principles. That, hey, God, if you have spoken to me, I will be the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your will. And this is a very, very powerful yes. It is the yes on which all of, let's say, the last 2,000 years, what's sometimes referred to as Mariology, in other words, the entire theology built on Mary, has come from. It comes from this little yes. And you think that it's a very small one, but it's powerful, right? Because it has rocked nations. Because through her yes, we have now an opportunity to be reconciled. Through her yes, we have an opportunity to see God in the flesh. And so by looking at Jesus and the examples that he sets up, you understand what it means to tap into that godliness. You understand what the manifestation of love is. That's why when Jesus turns to them and says that, who are my mother and my brothers? Those people who do the will of God. Jesus is inviting us to look at the will of God as he is expressing it. Through his examples, through his words, through his teachings, but most importantly through his examples, right? Through his passion, his crucifixion, standing at the cross and forgiving his creation. This is the ultimate example of love being given to us, being shared with us through the manifestation of love in Christ Jesus. And Saint Mary becomes the vehicle who allowed her comfort level to be destroyed. Who allowed that space to be destroyed. The one that we're so cautious about, right? We're very cautious about protecting that space around us. Saint Mary was equally as cautious. How could this be? And what about me? What about my comfort level? Hey, you know, the punishment for being pregnant without a husband was stoning. Yes, stoning. Hey, this is not 21st century. We're talking about time zero, first century Palestine. You know, I mean, stoning meant they would take stones and throw it at you. It didn't mean a high. It meant that they would really throw it at you until you died. Yes, and that was the punishment for having a child out of wedlock. Not 21st century where, hey, anything goes and, hey, we'll maybe go on the Maury Povich show and see who the father is. No! We're talking about the comfort level. We're talking all of her space being destroyed by this one answer that she's about to give. And she gives that answer. She says, yes, let it be to me according to your will. I am the handmaiden of the Lord. And this is such an incredible response to God that it becomes the example. It becomes an example for each and every one of us. And you say, okay, hold off, stop. You know, this is a nice little story, but, you know, if the same, given the same sort of circumstances, you know, I got to say, when bright lights show up, when you got stars out in the wilderness, when you got all of these things, three wise guys coming to my door, hey, maybe I would have said yes to. You know, given the chance, if God were to speak to me and say, you will bear a child named Jesus, I would say yes. Sure, I would say it. Yeah, sure. Well, here's the point, my friends. God does say that. God is asking each and every one of us to be Saint Mary's today. Yes. He's asking each and every one of us to be the new Saint Mary's of today. To bear Jesus Christ in our lives. To make love the focus of our lives. And that means that our space, our internal space, that means our comfort level is going to be destroyed. That means it's not going to be easy. That means people are going to look at us a little bit strangely. That means we may get a stoning. It's going to affect our comfort level. And things may not be as easy as we'd like it to be. But here's the challenge, to be able to say, yes, I am a servant, I am a handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your will. I'm willing to bring love into this world. No, it doesn't mean anything to be a Christian by words alone or saying I'm following somebody named Jesus Christ if we're not willing to be the family of Christ, if we're not willing to be the mother and the brothers of Christ. How? By hearing the will of God and doing it. The will of God is very plain. Love one another as I have loved you. Take care of one another as I wish you would take care of the least of my brothers, the least of my sisters. Then you're doing it for me. It's all in Scripture. And Armenian Orthodoxy pushes us to those limits, pushes us out of our comfort zones, out of our skins, to be able to walk in the steps, in the shoes of someone else, and say that, hey, this is the path that God wants me to select. I invite you this Sunday, with the Assumption of St. Mary, to really look inside of your lives and find where those comfort levels can be put aside and take on the role of being a St. Mary, a bearer of God, Astvazadzin, to bear and give birth to God, give birth to love in the relationships that you have, and more importantly, in your communities, in your country, and yes, give birth to love in this world. I am ready, Ani. Thank you for coming to my rescue. Here is Ani with today's bubbles.
Who packed your parachute? Today's spiritual bubble. Charles Plum, a U.S. Naval Academy graduate, was a jet pilot in Vietnam. After 75 combat missions, his plane was destroyed by a surface-to-air missile. Plum ejected and parachuted into enemy lands. He was captured and spent 6 years in a communist Vietnamese prison. He survived the ordeal and now lectures on lessons learned from that experience. One day, when Plum and his wife were sitting in a restaurant, a man at another table came up and said, "You're Plum! You flew jet fighters in Vietnam from the aircraft carrier at Kitty Hawk. You were shot down." "How in the world did you know that?" asked Plum. "Well, I packed your parachute," the man replied. Plum gasped in surprise and gratitude. The man shook his hand and said, "I guess it worked." Plum assured him, "It sure did. If your chute hadn't worked, I wouldn't be here today." Plum couldn't sleep that night, thinking about the man. Plum says, "I kept wondering what he might have looked like in a Navy uniform, a white hat, a bib in the back, and bell-bottom trousers. I wondered how many times I might have seen him and not even said good morning or how are you or anything, because you see, I was a fighter pilot and he was just a sailor." Plum thought of the many hours the sailor had spent on a long wooden table in the bowels of the ship, carefully weaving the shrouds and folding the silk of each chute, holding in his hands each time the fate of someone he didn't know. Now, Plum asks his audience, who is packing your parachute? Everyone has someone who provides what they need to make it through the day. Plum also points out that he needed many kinds of parachutes when his plane was shot down over enemy territory. He needed his physical parachute, but also his mental parachute, his emotional parachute, and his spiritual parachute. He called on all these supports before reaching safety. His experience reminds us all to prepare ourselves to weather whatever storms lie ahead. As you go through this week, this month, this year, recognize those people that pack your parachute. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Thank you, Ani. We appreciate that. And I appreciate you making the time to be here with us today. I know it's a real packed week. Ani comes in on a little bit of spare time that she has to put together these bubbles every week. And I know this week has been a challenging one, and you got some personal stuff going on this weekend that's going to be very exciting. So with all of that stuff, thank you for being here. And good luck with everything. Everything going okay? Yes. Yes, the hospital. She's at Children's Hospital. We're so proud of you, Ani. Anyway, God be with you. We look forward to seeing you again next week. And in between, if we have some fun, we might do that too. Ani does these bubbles along the way. It's to take our minds, you know, like those little soap bubbles, take our mind up to the heavens. I guess today's is kind of a awkward one, huh? Your parachute brings you down. Anyway, the mind goes up, but physically we always want to stay grounded. So we even appreciate those parachutes. Hey, speaking of parachutes in our lives, we've got so many things that keep us grounded, that save us. And of course, our faith is the most important. We challenge you to look at some of the key aspects, the icons of our faith, and one of which is St. Mary, who we celebrate this week. We're going to be talking more about St. Mary in a few minutes, looking at the other aspect of Thanksgiving. Before that, hey, let's take a break. Listen to what Susie has to say. She gives us a message also of Thanksgiving about thanking God with a very, very special way, making a monetary donation to this podcast.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the third year of production and growing daily with new listeners around the globe. This new message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. Epostle.net is the voice of Armadoxy, committed to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we need to avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at the inhisshoes.org website. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie. Important words right now, because we are at a critical point in this ministry. We do want to expand. We do need to go forward with this ministry. The response has been tremendous, but we've got to also bring in some dollars. We need to bring in some money to keep this ministry not only going, but really expanding at the level that we'd like it to expand. You know, in the last 3 years, we started off with this podcast. In the past 3 years, we've put together two other podcasts, one for the Lenten season, one for the Easter season. We are now broadcasting every week with Questions in Faith. Every Wednesday night, it is a live stream Bible study that takes place. There's nowhere else that you get this kind of service. You get this kind of ministry, reaching out where otherwise we wouldn't be able to reach out with the voice of Armenian Orthodoxy. But it requires the support of people, for people to say, hey, I find value in that and I want to support it. I want to make a donation. And we are at that point right now where your donations are really critical. You know, a few minutes ago, we talked about comfort level, about that comfort level, the invasion of our space. Not only going to talk about myself, I'm talking about a group of people, whether it's Susie, Ken, Ani, who put together this podcast, whether it's the entire St. Peter Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center here in the corner of Glendale. I mean, you know, we should be doing a lot of stuff that ordinary churches do that will make it very comfortable for people. You know, like having picnics and bazaars and kind of like looking at each other and saying, oh, isn't this cute that we have a Sunday school where kids get to color pictures of God? But we're not doing all that stuff. Instead, we're out there feeding the homeless. We're talking about Darfur. We're out there working on the streets. We're out there helping people, and we're out there with this podcast that is reaching out to an incredible audience that are find themselves on 5 different continents. Now, how do you do this? You do this through the tangible means that God gives us, and that's through money. It's through your donations, and we need those donations. This is a very important time in this ministry. We are expanding, and it expands because of your help. A prayer that is offered to God is one part. It's saying, God, not come down and expand this ministry. God, give me the wisdom. Give me the talents. Give me the ability to help where I can. And so we are calling on you right now. Make a donation. As soon as Susie said, you go on the website, you press on the donate button. I know people want to make donations tangibly. You can make those through checks sent to the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center, 632 West Stalker Street, Glendale, 91202. That's, of course, Glendale, California, not to be confused with Arizona or from wherever you may find it. Glendale, California, 91202. Anyway, you can find all of this information on the website. But more importantly, it's a commitment that you need to make, not only once, but a regular commitment to say, this is my church. This is where I connect virtually, and I find those articles of faith that make me who I am through those lenses that I peer through, the lenses of Armenian Orthodoxy. Wow, very appropriate. Thank you. I couldn't have picked that song out better than myself. I mean, what are you trying to get across? I'm thinking right now, it's not only the Madonna in there, it's about the paying the bills from money that might be heaven sent, but it's also, you could just be in the Beatles mood, right, from today's earlier song of the day. Well, whatever it is, thank you. It's just appropriate. Let's take the Madonna right now, the centerpiece of every Armenian altar. Wherever you are in the world, walk into an Armenian church, the centerpiece of that altar is Madonna and Child. And this week we are talking about Saint Mary, because this Sunday happens to be the Feast of Assumption. Now, in all Christian churches, they celebrate Assumption on August 15th. The Armenian church, it's a movable feast. We celebrate it on the Sunday closest to August 15th. Now, this Sunday, well, all of the stars align, the planets align. Actually, no such luck. August 15 happens to be on a Sunday. So this Sunday, all of the Christian churches, including the Armenian Church, will be celebrating the Feast of Assumption. Now, unique to the Armenian Church is this service of grape blessing. Ah, yes, the invasion of the grapes. At least the grapevine should be there too, as we'll talk in a few minutes about that. But the grapes. You walk into an Armenian church on this Sunday morning, you're gonna see grapes. And this comes to us from many centuries ago, a tradition where the farmers would bring their first fruit to the church. And in Armenia, grapes would ripen right around August 15th. And that first fruit, the first harvest, was brought to the church for a very special blessing. Now, this is interesting because the farmers didn't wait and see what was left over, what was the surplus. They would take the first fruit, what was the best, and offer it to the church. And in turn, the church would place a blessing not only upon them, but upon their labor, upon their work, and the fruits of that labor, bedra perutyun darvois, of the entire year. Now, the church's blessing was very important for the people because it was a relationship that they had with God that was found in a community known as the church, the body of Christ. Now, let's back up a little bit because this, of course, as I said a few minutes ago, we talked about the idea of thanksgiving. This, of course, bringing your labor, bringing your fruit to the church is a symbol of thanksgiving, thanking God for the goodness that he has bestowed upon you. And, of course, that's the idea of thanksgiving. Now, let me ask you a very simple question. Let me ask you this question. Jesus says, we find this in the book of Acts, interestingly enough, one of very few sayings that he has in the book of Acts. But he says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Think about that for a moment. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Do you believe that? Ask yourselves, do you really believe that? I mean, most of the world will tell you just the opposite. It may be blessed, but really it is more fun to receive than it is to give. Really, it is more profitable and therefore more self-satisfying to receive than to give. Isn't that the way of the world? I mean, think about it. I mean, who are the models that we hold up high in this world today? You ask somebody, say, who would you rather pattern your life after? Who do you model your life after? Out of two possibilities, Donald Trump, Mother Teresa, what do you suspect people will choose? Yeah, Mother Teresa's nice, was nice. She was a good lady. But really, Donald Trump is the model. Hey, that's what I aspire to be. Because Donald Trump puts not only food on my table, but also gives me an opportunity to get those excesses in life, which are so necessary to a good life. Yes, good life. Jesus says quite the opposite, doesn't he? He says it's better to give than it is to receive. And that's a troubling one. That's a difficult, that's an out-of-touch reality that we need to point people to. You need to point yourself to. Because in that giving, we understand something very special, a relationship that you establish with God. If you've ever cracked open a watermelon, take your hand and stick it in. And take that centerpiece. You know how juicy it is? How overly ripe it is? How the sugar and the water just seem to be dripping from it? Now imagine taking that piece and giving that to God. If he were to come into your house, if he were to be your house guest, surely you would give him that. But what do we usually give? We give the excesses. We give the rinds. We give that amount that's left over. You know that part that you clear off between the red and the rinds? There's a little layer of whiteness. And if that's left over, we can give that to God. Because after all, what's God going to do with it? Surely God has no use for the centerpiece of the watermelon. Why not just give him the rinds, right? I mean, you know that story? You remember that story about the guy who prays up to God and says, everything that I have is yours. And he takes all of his money and his wealth and he tosses it up to the sky and he says, God, whatever you need, take and send back whatever you don't need. And all of his money and all of his wealth come tumbling back to him. Well, we think the same too. What's God going to do with it? Why do I need the church? Why should I go give it to the church? Well, because if it's a real church, it's doing God's will. And this is where you have to make that distinction. It's not just about faith. It's doing God's will. Becoming Christ's family. What did Jesus say? Who are my brothers? Who is my mother? Those people who hear the will of God and do it. So you need to do it. You need to take action on Christ's commandments. It's not enough to say, I love Jesus. It's saying, I love Jesus, and here's how. By doing his will. By helping those who can't help themselves. By becoming the hands, the feet, the legs, the mouthpiece of Christ here on earth. And so reaching out. So when you give to the church, when you take out that centerpiece. When you give not from your abundance, but what is important, in other words, the first fruit, not knowing that what will happen tomorrow. Tomorrow there may be famine. Tomorrow there may be a destruction of all your crops. It doesn't matter. Today you're taking the first fruit and you're giving it to God. You're presenting it on the altar of God and you're saying, bless it. Bless the fruitfulness of my life. You're saying, I believe in the work that needs to be done collectively, in the collective we call the church. I believe in the outreach. I may not be able to get out there on the streets, but I believe that the church needs to be doing that. I may not be able to go out there and purchase clothing for the naked, for the destitute, but by giving to the church, I know that that work will be done. I may not be able to reach out into those hospitals and to reach out to the lonely, to the sick, to the bereaved, but I know by giving to my church, I'm supporting a ministry that reaches out where I cannot reach out. And so when you give to the church, it's not about giving out of your abundance. It's giving out of what you have. The first fruit, by saying the first fruit of God is important to reach out to the people that need that reaching out to. This Sunday becomes a day of thanksgiving that measures your thankfulness to God. Yes, that's right. It measures it. Because it is more blessed to give than to receive. You know why? Because it's more right to give than to receive. You have everything. If you can take a breath right now, you're better off than all those people who are in the cemetery, right? Because you're alive. If you could walk today, you're better off than most people who are found in wheelchairs and hospitals. But that's not a reason to get excited. Hey, I'm living. Hey, I'm walking. What good is that walking if you're not walking anywhere? What good are those hands that God has given you if you're not reaching out to somebody? What good are those arms if you're not hugging somebody? What good is that mouth if you're not talking the talk of God? And the church gives you that opportunity. Or at least let me say it this way. It needs to give you that opportunity because I know there are many of you who write to me and you say, my church isn't doing that. Well, you know what? You need to put your money where your mouth is. You need to be able to turn to your church and saying, I'm holding back this money until I start seeing some action. We need to start a revolution of making Christ's work not just a work that we talk about on Sundays and makes us feel good because we color pictures of God in our Sunday school. Christ's work has to be the work that we all believe in, the work that Jesus Christ came to establish. When you reach out to the least of my brothers, you do it to me. He says many times in Scripture, he refers to people who say one thing but do something else with their action. He refers to them as a word that we shouldn't use. We shouldn't use because we are all guilty of it. He refers to us as hypocrites. He has the right to call us hypocrites. We don't have the right to call one another hypocrites because we are all guilty of that hypocrisy. Look around you. Do you have the means? It doesn't matter. Do you have the ability? It doesn't matter. Do you have? Yes, I do. Then you need to take that and use it. You need to give. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And here's the pleasant irony of all this. The more you give, the more you receive. The more you give, the more you receive. And you say, well, that's a cutesy little answer. No, it isn't. It's actually proven. And you don't understand this until you understand the blessing of the grapes. Because at the blessing of the grapes, the metaphor is revealed. In the scriptural passage, which comes from St. John's Gospel, chapter 15, Jesus refers to himself. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful." You get it? The branches that bear fruit, the branches that give fruit, get pruned so that they give even more fruit. Jesus says, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to me. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." Here is the call, the ultimate call to Christianity. Remain in Christ, and you will see that your giving will be blessed, so that you will bear even greater fruit, more fruit, and it will be more blessed, and it will bless so many more people. Here is an opportunity to find the fruitful life in Christ. An opportunity that comes to each and every one of us, this Sunday and every day. Let me conclude with the reading. He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be complete. My commandment is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you my friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." Here it is. This is the commandment that Jesus gives us. This is on great blessing. This is from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 15. This is the command, that we do what he asks us to do. Love one another. This Sunday, on the Feast of Assumption, you have an opportunity to bear witness to that love by being a bearer of the Christ child within you, bearing love to the entire world, by becoming productive members of this world, by bearing fruit and making sure that that fruit reaches out to all parts of this world. In love and peace, and that love and peace you find within you and you find all around you, because we call that the love of God.
As she floats in the kitchen, I'm tasting the smell. Yeah. Of toast as the butter runs, then she comes spilling crumbs on the bed, and I shake my head, and it's only the giving that makes you what you are.
Well, we never have enough time to do all the things we want to do, certainly in the case of this podcast, to say all the things that we want to say. But we've gone quite a bit today, and I think we've set down the groundwork for where our hearts should be, how we should each be bearers of love. And I hope that got across to you. I hope enough for this Sunday. Walk into an Armenian church. Enjoy the great blessings ceremony. If you can't get to an Armenian church, remember, we are here virtually. We're here all the time, and join us at inissues.org as well as apostle.net, apostolic evangelism for an expanding and electronic universe. For Susie, our producer, Ani and her bubbles, for Ken, our engineer, great music today. This is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.